Everybody Can is a conversation about the people and organizations that strengthen our community by volunteering, donating, serving on boards, or sometimes just showing up in micro moments of kindness. I'm your host, Missy Nielsen, tenaciously curious and committed to the notion that connecting and serving others provides a space for one to have a sense of purpose and belonging. Today, we are talking with the folks from Bayside Housing and Services who do remind us deeply how one can be challenged if they don't have a sense of belonging. And out of that can sometimes come a sense of no purpose. And I'm really touched by this organization, Bayside Housing Services, and their director of development, Heather Dudley Nolet, a deeply rooted community member, co-founder of CoLab, and 2015 Business Leader of the Year, has deep understanding about real estate needs and people in need. Heather, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me, Missy.
Did I get anything incorrect? Did I kind of track the right history? We got the right Heather here.
Absolutely. I am the right Heather. Just like everyone else in Jefferson County, I have many, many hats and several different faces and lots of jobs. So
Bayside Housing Services is this really, really unique collaboration. I know it because I eat at the old alcohol plant and I've seen some of the cool houses and I've talked to some of the amazing cooks who have benefited from that sense of purpose and belonging that's been restored by Bayside. So help our listeners know a little bit more about how Bayside came about. In fact, maybe some of them don't even know where it's located. Just give us a kind of a big picture if you don't mind.
I would love to. So Bayside Housing and Services started over 6 years ago now, in April of 2016, I believe is when they first opened their six rooms at the base, what we call the Bayside Tower, which is the building just to the right of the main hotel at the old alcohol plant at 310 Hadlock Bay Road in Port Hadlock. Longtime history there, of course, at that lovely building and that beautiful property. And it had been empty for some time and a down economy. And it was seen by several members of our community who had the capacity and the heart to see this as an opportunity to help serve people in Jefferson County. So the founders purchased this property with the intent to provide transitional housing to people that they were seeing in their other work serving people who were experiencing homelessness, mainly through their work with St. Vincent de Paul and other organizations. So they were literally going out into our forests, on our beaches, in our back areas, and seeing folks who were unhoused. And decided that they were going to do something immediately about it. So they used their own money and their own time, a lot of time, to start this organization. And they immediately put six people into rooms, and they immediately went to work and starting to re-engage the old alcohol plant as a for-profit side. So there's two separate organizations. One that runs the old alcohol plant is for revenue that goes to support the Bayside mission, which is a separate 501c3 nonprofit company in Washington State.
It's a fabulous model when you think about a fragile business who is really trying to shore up themselves, but then has this inspiration to dovetail and almost side by side. They're serving the community and then they're serving this unmet need. And I didn't mean to interrupt you, but you know, on your website, it's housing and it's meals and it's what else are you bringing to the table, so to speak, for these folks that are housed there?
Thank you for the excellent context. What Bayside started with, in literally just doing what our executive director and founder, Gary Keister, calls putting heads in beds. He says, let's do it now. Let's not wait. This is a absolutely crisis scenario. He's also known to say, if the fire were coming down the mountain right now, we would darn well do something about it. Mm. And he sees it as the fire coming down the mountain, and so do our, the rest of our board members. And so they put heads in beds immediately, then very quickly saw that in order to meet the goal, which is to move people into more permanent housing and help them to stay there and establish community and establish connection and skills and self-worth and gain employment if they're capable of that, that in order to do that, they needed a lot of support. And each person needed a different kind of support. And so that grew and evolved into hiring case managers to work directly one-on-one with each of our program participants, meet them right where they are, provide all of the services that they need, whether that's going and reestablishing their identity through a driver's license or a social security card, whether that's getting some clothing for interviewing and getting back into the job market, whether it's working toward regaining a relationship with their children and providing a home for their children to come home to. All of those things, our case managers will work with folks directly. And then we are now at this place 6 years later where we're starting to see a very new evolution, which is now, okay, a lot of the transitional support was driven by the pandemic, and people had to just stay where they were for a couple of years. And now we're seeing people really being ready to move more into permanent housing, but not necessarily not still needing that support. So we're about to open our first permanent supportive housing program, and we're really excited about contributing to the housing security need in Jefferson County in that way.
That is exciting. So yes, I think it's really important for our listeners to understand it is a good representation of a nonprofit when you are moving the face and mission towards the vision and being able to be nimble enough to go where the need is. So while you're transitional in your history, I heard you say you've got a second project starting. It's permanent housing, and this is going to be somewhat inspired by what has taken place at the alcohol plant, where it is previously used for something else, or will it contain a component hybrid, as does the alcohol plant? Talk a little bit more about this new project.
Excellent question. They will be quite different from one another. And I just want to add, I think most of your listeners will know, but some may not. We started at the old alcohol plant, then opened Peter's Place in Port Hadlock, which was a tiny shelter village, but still with the case management support. That village is fairly focused on elders, folks over 65, several veterans. We then opened Pat's Place in Port Townsend, our second tiny shelter village, which is primarily focused on individuals and couples who have some form of income, typically jobs. We're getting them closer to the job market in Port Townsend and housing them, still providing that transitional support. Our next project is very, very exciting, and we're right in the beginnings of it. And that is that we're about to finalize a purchase, hopefully in the next few days, with fingers crossed, of a purchase of what we now know as the Hadlock Motel in Port Hadlock, currently owned by our wonderful neighbor, Carol Woodley. And we will immediately, upon purchasing it, begin to call it Woodley Place. And in order to just immediately get as many folks off of our wait list, which has ranged in the year plus that I've been working for Bayside, that wait list has ranged from somewhere in the upper 80s to about 148 people at its max in the last month. So we'll pull people, as many as we can and as quickly as we can, into this same program, transitional supportive housing. Meanwhile, we're going to be working with our donors and grantors to gain additional funding to renovate those rooms up to HUD quality standards so that we can, as soon as possible, begin our first permanent supportive housing program there, continuing to provide the case management support, but our program participants will begin living with month-to-month, longer-term leases and more housing security and stability while maintaining the kind of support that they've been getting at Bayside.
If you are just joining us, this is Missy Nielsen of Everybody Can, and you're listening to KPTZ 91.9. Today we are speaking with Heather Dudley Nolette of Bayside Housing, and what great news about this expansion and the distinction of it too. What I think is very interesting is that you've got a location that is in Port Hedlock, and then this idea that services and support moving folks as they become more solidified into their, you know, resilient, independent self. What do you imagine for this Port Hedlock location? Are they folks that are moving out of Bayside? They're really the folks on the wait list. What is the level of readiness for this? How does one know if they want, if they're waiting for housing, where would they really apply?
Well, excellent question. So what we'll be doing primarily, and I would love to get deeper into the services that are provided by talking with Mike Moore, our Director of Housing and Asset Management at some point. But Mike would tell you that we will begin by moving some people who are in our current programs, but may be as close to ready to moving into permanent housing as is any of our program participants. And so those individuals and families may be some of the first to move. We will certainly look immediately to our wait list to fill the any open spots. And I was talking about that case management support, the case managers that work at Bayside Housing and Services are true heroes, and they really meet these individuals at very individual places so that they can provide the support that they need. So they're going to really have these in-depth relationships and have developed a lot of community with our program participants to know and to help individuals make choices about whether they're ready to move to permanent supportive housing and if this is the location that they want to be, or do they want to hold out and find permanent location in some other place? Because if you think about it, you and I, we are very privileged in many ways, but certainly privileged by the opportunity to make choices about where we live. Mm. And so we really want to involve our program participants in that decision about whether they are a good candidate and whether they want to move to this particular permanent supportive housing, or if they're ready to move into permanent housing without that kind of support, but in a different community or a different part of our community. And so those conversations will be very unique and individual, depending on those individual or family needs.
And, you know, this program is all about getting people involved, a sense of purpose and belonging. And on your website, my work history is informed by being a career counselor. And I've often said volunteering can help you explore a passion. And you, when we hear the word case management, my first thought was, I need to be qualified in a certain way. And yet I see that if one, it wants to be a mentor or come alongside. Let's give our listeners some way to reach you about volunteering for some of those wraparounds, but also to touch base with you how we can meet this goal for the Carol Woodley Place in Port Hedlock. Tell me if I'm correct in understanding case management could be done by someone who doesn't have a formal education in that area. Is that a yes or a no?
Well, I would say that there are certain skill sets that you absolutely want to bring to case management. And as we are developing stronger programs, we're also hiring people with higher skill levels. And so we've been doing a lot of on-the-job training of our existing case managers. And our case managers are getting master's degrees. They're doing ongoing study and training every single day, and it's pretty impressive what they're learning and bringing to their jobs. So, however, I would say that we have volunteer pools that absolutely can engage a wide variety of skills and really be put to work to help our program participants.
Do you have a volunteer application on your website? Is that the best place for people to check out opportunities?
We do absolutely have a volunteer application on our website, which is at baysidehousing.org. You can find it there. And you can also find many different ways to contribute your skills, both financially, your resources, both financially and with your time.
It is really a fantastic set of information right here, what it's involved. And I think that speaks well of an organization. If you are interested in volunteering, I am often saying, check out what they say about their volunteer, whether or not they have the application, what are the background checks, do we train? And so hats off to you. And the new project, do we have a sense of timing when we might break ground for those remodeling goals for the place?
What is wonderful about this project is that we will be able to provide housing very soon after we acquire the property. So we want to send a big shout out and thank you to Steve Theringer for sponsoring the grant that purchased this project. And that was through Legislative Community Projects. We will hopefully close on this. The dollars then went through the Housing Trust Fund. And as soon as they're released, which we hope will be in the next couple of days, we will go ahead and close on that. And thanks much to Carol Woodley for helping us to get that done as well. And then hopefully it has typically taken us about 2 to 3 months to really turn a property over and start getting it fully housed and filled up with folks for transitional housing. And as soon as we can, we'll begin those renovations to turn it into permanent. We do need to do some additional fundraising for that. So that's something we can support as a community.
Well, I look forward to having you back on, and maybe we could talk about what kind of work belts you might want have at the property and how we can help you get that place opened up as soon as possible. Heather, it's been a delight to talk to you. And I think this spring, we're going to be seeing some exciting things happening in Port Hadlock.
No doubt. Thank you, Missy.
This is Missy Nielsen, host of Everybody Can, and I thank you for taking the time to listen to our program today. It is our hope that in sharing these stories, we have uplifted and encouraged you to find your own path to belonging, perhaps explore a new skill set, or simply impact the life of another, changing the arc of their potential. And I can't think of a better place where you could impact lives more greatly than Bayside Housing. Speaking of impacting lives, I couldn't do this program without the help of Nora Petrich, masterful as she is, our production coordinator. Thank you so much for joining us today. Listeners, this is a season of giving, and I hope that you do. Now take care.